Well, what's up? Hey, everybody. Thank you for checking out today's episode. I'm honestly really excited about today's episode.
As well, you should be.
Yes, I have. I have a person that I look up to a lot, and that honestly has been a really big encouragement to my life in the few times that I've got to be around him. But honestly, with no further ado, I have with me this morning Mark Hall. Mark, say what's up.
What's up, my brother?
So, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good.
You're a grandpa now, right?
I am.
You're a grandpa.
Right now, I'm still in that. It seems like about 2 days ago, I had to start realizing what day it was. What's the weird thing with between Christmas and New Year's? Like, what is today? Like, you could ask anybody in the room, and they're like, Tuesday, I think. But, yeah, back in the swing of thing here on the couple days ago.
Do you have a grandpa name?
Papa.
Papa.
Yeah.
Okay. My dad's trying to figure out his grandpa name, and he...
Dude, you think all about it. You think all about it, but then when you see that kid, you're like, dude, you can call me Booger. I don't care.
That's
right. Whatever you want.
Yep, yeah, that's a good... Yeah.
Just call me. That's just all I want.
Something.
Yeah. Yep,
that is funny. So, Mark, I know you. I know some people probably know you. For those people that don't know you, who are you? What do you do? What have you done your life?
Ooh.
I know that's...
I'm Mark. I sing in the band Casting Crowns, a singer, a songwriter, and been one of the youth pastors here at Eagles Landing for, I think, 25 years, and that's what I be.
So really, it's just you, two youth pastors
interviewing
each other.
This is pretty much it.
I actually
got to spend some time with you as a teenager, if you want to tell some stories about that.
Yeah, so I remember. Do you remember how we met?
I think how we met, my first memory would be going to some pizza and wing place over here. Yep. There's a bunch of friends.
Yep.
This was one of the first times we like talked.
Yeah.
And you were the kid that had deep questions.
Yeah, I.
Everybody's like, doo doo doo, burp, burp. And you were like, what do you think about the Trinity?
Yeah. No, I, the Lord, I was definitely, especially like in high school, because I think that was like junior, senior
year. Yeah.
The Lord was doing a work in me that I hadn't quite figured out yet. But I remember I don't know if you remember, I had an auto, like a car detailing business. And my business, I literally, nothing serious at all. I just would contact people and say like, hey, can I wash your car?
Yeah.
Can I clean your car? And I remember you actually allowed me to do that in senior year. And that was, for me, that was like, okay, like this guy, he's real. He'll let me wash his car.
That's the only reason I did it.
And I'm going to be honest.
Because like something's going on with this kid. I saw it in the restaurant. God's dealing with him. And I thought any connection I can have is good. Yeah. So I don't even remember if he did a good job on the car, really.
I probably didn't. I can tell you, and I don't know if you're going to like this or not, your car was the dirtiest that I've ever cleaned in my life. So, I mean, there was, like, I didn't have any of the big time products. I mean,
you mean outside or inside?
Inside, in the carpet. Like, there was caked on stuff, and I was, like, with my little vacuum trying to, like, scoop it all up. But I didn't have any of that, so.
And then there was the weed. You had to do something with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess you can't put laugh emoji in the podcast again. No,
I also, hey, real quick, before we move on, I do have a gift for you.
Oh.
So, close your eyes. This is a thank you for being a part of the podcast.
I'm closing my eyes?
Yes, since this isn't videoed, you're going to have to tell people what it is. But hey,
okay.
Here you go. From me to you.
Dude, you got me some peeps?
a 12-pack
of marshmallow peeps. It's about that time of the year. It's coming, I guess.
It is, man. It is. So,
that's beautiful.
That is good, though. But
and they're blue, so I can have a blue mouth everywhere I go.
Yes, you can. You can walk around looking like you just ate out of a... blue pack of peeps, I guess.
Crayons.
I have an interesting question. So normally I ask people, I want to see what's a random fact about them, but I don't want to deal with you. If you could do one thing, and don't be all spiritual, be like, oh, I love what I'm doing. Like,
got
if
it.
You could do one thing.
Philip's telling me not to be spiritual. Got it. Okay. Continue.
If you could do one
drinking thing, it in right now.
If you could do one thing that you could do, that isn't pastoring or doing music. The amount of money that you're paid doesn't matter. It's just fun for you.
Just do it for fun. I collect old comic books, like the really old ones.
Wow.
And like I have the first Spider-Man, like that kind of stuff. So traveling to all the different places where you can do that and broker just from that one hobby has opened the door of ministry to these comic shop owner guys, guys that tend to be a little more jaded about things. And the ministry that's come from that has been amazing. So well, I'm back to ministry. Sorry. I'm supposed to be non-ministry, but, right now, like I've been pouring into students for so many years, but dads are really on my mind. So, yeah, you have to excuse my voice. I've got this voice issue right now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your voice, like, is everything okay?
I have what's called spasmodic dysphonia. So RFK, if you've heard him on TV, he's got it. And, which was a little distressing when I saw that, because I thought that guy's like a millionaire. If he hadn't figured this out, I'm toast. But my doctors I'm going through speech therapy, all that kind of stuff. Okay. So we're working through it. So we've taken some time off.
Yeah.
So Crowns is off this whole year.
Wow.
This is the medical year. Okay. So Megan had her entire ankle fused like the day after the tour. Like she's been waiting for a few years to have the surgery. So she's got a couple months to recover, to be able to walk. Right. I might be having back surgery fairly soon. And then I got this voice thing to work through. So right now I'm just in the season of writing a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that is. So not only music, but also, do you like writing books? Like I know you've written a couple books, but like, do you love writing?
Well, writing is such a odd word, you know. I would never write anything. I'm dyslexic, so and ADD. So when I joked with my daughter the other day, and she was talking about some book, and I said, "Girl, I've written more books than I've read." And she said, "Dad, that was a weird flex, really weird flex. That was like you flex, but you put yourself down. That's just a Mark Hall kind of flex." But that's actually not true. But I've got, I think, 5 books or 6 books, but what those are just Tim Luke, who worked here at the church, would transcribe all my sermons when I taught. Wow. And then I'd sit down just like me and you, and we would just talk out what I wanted to say, and he would put it. So no, I wouldn't really physically write anything, but like all my songs are just little snippets of voice recordings in my phone.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I'll play you some of those one time. It's just me driving down the road. Like,
well, I remember when you took me and a friend out to eat one time.
Yeah.
And you had said, "Hey, have y'all heard of that guy? He's a Christian rapper. I think his name's KB.
Yeah.
I think you're messing with us or something." But
yeah,
you had just pulled up just a recording on your notes, just and no official anything. You're like, "Have y'all heard, this is a song I think we're about to release or something." And I just remember being like, "This guy just has a song in his notes. Like, does he just record on his like voice memos on his iPhone?"
We actually recorded a song with KB.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so it's the song "Start Right Here."
It's gonna start
right here, and but it's a special version, so it's him rapping in the middle. KB is solid.
That's what I've heard.
He's solid.
I've heard he's a pretty good speaker too.
Very good. Very rooted. I would say a lot of your Christian rappers are probably a little more theological deep than adult contemporary artists.
Wow.
Because they're getting into things.
Man.
And they're saying more things. It's like, like worship music is important, but being challenged is slipping right now.
Wow.
We just, everybody wants to look up. Nobody wants to look in the mirror. And I think a lot of what Christian rap does is it makes you look in the mirror. And that's what Crowns has done.
Wow.
We're going to sing vertical music. We're going to sing worship music. But then we're going to say, "All right, let's talk about this."
Yeah.
And, there's songs that people want to hear, and there's songs people need to hear.
Wow. Man. My mind's just going, I'm pinging. Just hearing you say some of these things is just pinging, ping, ping, ping everywhere. That's awesome.
Well, follow the pings, dude. We can just talk about whatever you want.
Follow the pings. Well, I want to hear about your growing up,
mm-hmm.
because I don't really remember much of you telling us about your growing up experience. But growing up, you know, in was your family, were your family Christians? Did they go to church? Did they have you in church? Like,
yeah.
What was school like? Like, yeah. What was some of that like growing up?
My dad got saved when I was, I think, 7. Okay. And brought our whole family to church. And somebody got him in the choir. So, actually, I know. The man who led him to Jesus was the music. They call him the music minister, you know. And he came and visited my dad at our house. Because I went to Bible school, vacation Bible school. So, James Blakeney goes and visits my dad at home. And leads him to Jesus in our living room.
That is so
and
cool.
Brought us all. So, he joined the choir. Wow. So, dad starts singing. He's always singing in the car. Suddenly, we're just always singing. And our music changed. Suddenly, it wasn't the music, easy listening, whatever. It was stuff about Jesus. And, yeah, I got to see my dad be a young believer and grow in his faith. It's pretty awesome. He's been a hero.
Has that been a big part, you know, your father being a father figure that he's supposed to be rooted in Jesus? Was that, would you credit that to a lot of your?
Very much. Wow. Yeah. Very much.
That's cool. That's cool. So when did you begin following Jesus? When did you hear the whisper of Jesus in your life and say, I'm going to run after this guy?
Yeah.
For real now.
Yeah. I think there's always several moments.
Yeah.
For all of us, we always try to nail down something, but I got saved when I was 9. In all of the capacity that a 9-year-old can have, right? I believe I was in college when everything kind of wrecked for me. And I chased everything that everybody told me was going to work, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And it was that crash and burn that God started bringing to my memory people in my life all the way up to that point that we're not perfect, but I knew something was different.
Yeah.
And the problem is we tell ourselves that guy over there with his hands in the air has got to be fake.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to say that guy's fake than to say something's missing in me.
Yeah.
It's way easier to do that. So all the people that I would have told myself are just, I don't know, they're just these weird Jesus people. I started realizing there's something in them, you know, and, that's when things started changing.
Did you, when you, okay, so out of, you know, out of my own curiosity, did you have an older believer come alongside you at any stage? Because, you know, it is stages.
Yeah.
At any stage in particular in your life, do you remember like an older believer come alongside of you and like disciple you, like pour into you? Because that's one of the things that I really hit heavily in my, because that's where I really began to change is when I had an older believer who's my mentor, you know, this the guy that I love to death. He came alongside of me and said, I want to walk through with you what it looks like to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And we read the Bible and, you know, all kinds of things. So did you have that at all?
I did not have that person probably till I was a young youth pastor.
Yeah.
So even as a young youth pastor, I was really young in my faith. I didn't know what walking through something with people was, you know. But I had people in my life and moments that spoke truth to me in love. So one of those guys was Luke Finkelstein. And whatever you imagined in your head, that's Luke.
Wow.
So somehow he volunteers to be our 11th grade or 12th grade Sunday school class teacher. So every week he comes in, he sits in this little circle of chairs, and he's just looking at the top of our heads because we're all just like looking straight at the ground, you know, and we're cool. You know, this guy in his Sansa belt slacks and his button down short sleeve shirt tucked in, like the hair on his neck has grown down into the, you know, we were coming up with all these reasons why this guy, you know, but there was something different about this guy.
Wow.
And he, I remember one time him saying to us, "Hey, I need you guys to pray for me." And we were all, I just remember thinking, what? You know, and nobody's ever asked me to pray for them, you know. And he's like, "I got a guy from work that's stealing from me."
Wow.
And it was something, it was a situation like that. And he's like, "I'm trying to lead him to Jesus."
Wow.
And I've got to deal with it. I just need y'all to help me and pray that God will give me wisdom for this. And I was just sitting in my little metal chair, like, what? Like, I thought Jesus lived at church.
That is crazy.
I thought this was just what we do. Yeah. I mean, we go to church on Sunday. Sunday, you go to baseball Monday. You go to, you know, baseball Monday, Wednesday, Friday, game on Saturday. You know, that's and church is again on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you leave.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like that in a lot of people's lives around me, right? So when I started seeing that people are, this is serious. Like, people really trust God with stuff. Now, what's crazy to think is that nobody did that in my life. Yeah. We'll tell ourselves that. No one really did that. No, you just didn't see it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when God let me see it in a big way. And that's when I started seeing, I think there's more to this.
Yeah.
But I was probably 2 years into being a youth pastor.
Wow.
When I met somebody that just started really pouring into me. But even then, it wasn't every week.
Yeah.
I've never really had that every week person.
Yeah.
You know, but I've got to be that for a lot of people.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So, okay. So I know I really didn't know this. Like, you were a youth pastor, because you're talking about, you know, that was when you got into youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Like, where did that calling?
Yeah.
Where did that calling come from? I mean, obviously God.
Yeah.
When did you begin to understand that and walk through that?
Well, I was young college kid, and all I knew, to me, a calling, like God's calling on people. We got this picture in my head of this finger coming out of the clouds. You will go, and your offspring will, you know, that kind of stuff. And I didn't have that. I just had this kind of a growing realization that God has a different idea for my life than I do. And it was just something, I need to be doing something. I don't know what it is. And since I just sort of took that and ran with it. And I thought, okay, I sing. So I sing solos with my dad. Yeah. You know, I sing duets with him. I sing in the youth choir. It must be music. So I go off to Bible college to study music ministry. And it was there that somebody said, hey, can you come sing and help worship with my youth group? And at the time, I didn't really know what that meant. Like, what worship? Like, I don't know what that means, yeah. Right? Like, I came from, we sang songs on Sunday,
yeah.
And then he had the sermon. And so even as a young guy at Bible college, I was still figuring this out. And so I go and help a guy. I'd never heard upbeat Christian music before. I'd never heard anything like that before. Like, all I knew was pianos, hymns, and this guy's put together this little band.
Yeah.
Of like different people at the school, elite worship at the school. And I'm standing up there and there's like 60 kids. I've never seen that many kids in my life.
That is crazy.
You know, my youth group is 30 on Easter, you know? And so I'm there. I'm not a youth pastor yet. I'm just at this church. And I see what leading worship looked like, right? And I don't know. I just stepped into that night. I was like, I like this. And one of the adults at that church was also a student at the college. And he comes up to me the next day and he says, I think you need to be our youth pastor.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not a youth pastor. He said, I just think you need to be it. I was like, dude, I'm studying music. I don't want to be a youth pastor. I don't know if I like teenagers. You don't know what I was only 3 years out of being a teenager.
That's,
you know,
literally me right now.
It's not like they're giving you much back. If you're getting into youth ministry to be loved and adored, that's not going to happen. So, but at the time I was like, man, I'm not made for that. Like, I got a quick temper. I'll just, you know, some of those guys, I think most guys, most guys just need to be punched in the face one time,
goodness.
You know, but anyway, I'm sorry. We'll go. That's another podcast. So, but you got those guys and I thought, I can't do that, but I could not get away from it. And that's kind of where it started. I went to be youth pastor at that church.
That's crazy. So you're doing you're preaching. So were you preaching and teaching and then singing as well?
Yeah, I'd never taught before.
That is crazy.
So I would just.
Do you remember the first book you taught through, or like the first series you did?
Book you taught through? I didn't even know that was a thing. You know, it's verse by verse, or it's not even of God.
I
didn't know that. Yeah. I was just. And thank God for the people that did not know this awesome way we know now. How in the world did we do this before now? But they were just reading scriptures and telling the stories. And, you know, obviously we know it needs to be linked together so people can read scripture. But it is okay So what I would do is I would just sing them a Christian song that I heard on the radio, like Steve and Chris Chapman or something, and then show them the verses that came from. I didn't have anybody teaching me how to teach. So I had to learn on my own doing that. But that's where it started.
That's crazy. So how old were you?
21.
21.
Yeah.
That's literally me.
Yep.
Well, just before
you're way further ahead of the game than I was at 21.
I appreciate that, but yeah. At times it doesn't necessarily feel like that. So
I get it. I totally get it. We can talk about all that stuff too if you want. We'll just talk student ministry shop. Yeah. Just don't say names. Just say, well, there's this guy, Bob.
Yeah, there's all these. Church. No.
You don't have to tell me anything. I can tell you right now. I could break down the parents of your youth group kids right now.
That is hilarious.
Just say when. We can get into it.
Yeah. We might have to do part two. Oh, man. So, okay. So, obviously, you being a youth pastor, that led into Crowns. When did Crowns officially become Crowns?
And please years later.
Please tell me why Casting Crowns is the name Casting Crowns.
Well, first group I ever had was in college, and we were called One Voice, and I actually have a cassette of our album.
Wow.
If you're good, I have a cassette player, tapes. I have a tape player in my office, and I will play you some of the very first songs I wrote. But so anyway, that was that. And then the fact that you don't know what a cassette is kind of hurts my
heart. Can I get that in a sentence?
It hurts my heart. It hurts my heart a little bit.
I'm sorry.
I'm in the room with you right now, so you don't ever have to say that again. I've never heard of a cassette. So so then I went to churches full time, went to Georgia up here, Loganville.
Okay.
That was my first full time thing. And I started a band there just because all this was about was how do I lead these kids in worship?
Yeah.
So we would get students together, build a band, lead worship. We were called the New Life Rookies.
The New Life. I like that.
You better know it. Well, I got a CD of that. You do know what a CD is, right?
CD is.
I was about to punch you.
I just had this thought. So right now, our youth band at mm-hmm. Blackshear at our church is like, we're starting it up. And the youth pastor before, he did a great job in organizing and building it up. And
awesome.
We're currently in those stages of what you're talking about, just getting kids together and seeing who can do what and who can sing. And so that's a. But anyway, that's my
ADHD. We can talk a bunch about that later, too. That's another episode, too.
Yeah.
Building a youth band, that's tough. So did that, and my bass player in ninth grade, little punk, ended up being awesome, married Megan, because I introduced him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a pastor in Nashville. And so all those guys are worship leaders and pastors that were in my band at the time. And so I went to Daytona Beach, and that's where I met Melody and Juwan. They were engaged to be married, and they'd never seen a singing youth pastor before. And I just met them the first time I came, and I played this little song for the youth group because I spoke for the first time there. And it was a song called Fear that's now called The Voice of Truth, right? And they heard that. And they said, we want to help you. You know, what can we do? I said, well, let's just build a team and worship. There was never a goal for it to be anything more than the church. You know, as a musician, you'll think about that kind of stuff. But you got to take a long look and not just a short look. Because that kind of stuff, there's no next level to the church.
Yeah.
There's just the church.
Yeah.
That's why we're always pouring into our own church, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Especially like Melody and Juwan, they left Eagles Landing. They're up in Covington, and they're at a church there. He's leading worship there, but they built all the worship kids here.
That's so cool.
That are all worship leaders all over the place now. Wow. So you got to replace yourself, pour into others.
Wow, yeah, that'll preach. When this is just another random thought.
Yeah.
The voice of truth.
Yeah.
And the voice of truth. I remember.
That's pretty good, man.
Yes. You know, you can sign me whatever. But
okay. You're signed.
I'm joking. I remember listening to that song. This is going to blow your mind. I remember listening to that song, and I was in second grade.
Nice.
Yeah. Second grade.
But you were in second grade for like 3 years, weren't you?
Wow. Yeah, I was in second grade on the way to school. My mom was playing the song. And I just remember these pictures painted in my head of those words. And I never forgot that song. And that's why it was just wild coming here. And I was like, that's that guy that wrote that song? I didn't know you were.
Yeah.
I just remember you're the guy that wrote the song about David and Goliath and these pictures in my head. And what is it? What's inspired that? Like, what has inspired the writing of, like, who am I? The voice of truth.
Starting with voice of truth. For me, being a kid with learning differences, you know, I was in all the special classes my whole during school. And so I drew pictures. That's what I did. It would have never occurred to me to write songs because I had just let the world hang a sign around my neck that said, this is what you are. Right. So it never would occur to me to try that. But I'm a very visual person because I draw and I paint and this kind of stuff. And I realized that you can draw pictures with words. So when I write a song, it's a movie in my head. I'm seeing the song, not just writing the song. I'm like, how many times have I sat in my chair at church and I'm just going, if this song can just be over, I can get out of here because I feel like I'm about to do something crazy and follow Jesus. I have a feeling that I'm going to just do what he's calling me to do. And you're like, oh my gosh. And that out of control feeling, you know, that we hold back all the time. Yeah. That's God calling you further out. Yeah. And that picture is, oh, what I do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in.
Man.
That's because I'm not just going to say, hey, I'm really nervous about doing what God. No, you can't do that. You got to talk in pictures, you know, so people see it because that's how I see things.
Yeah, and I know listening to that song, I know there's been multiple times just being transparent, like just crying, just like,
yeah.
And the crazy part is, like, you know, you're singing scripture. Your words aren't necessarily the exact, like, hey, chapter 6, yeah, verse 1. You're singing scripture, and that scripture through that song is, like, ministering to me, mm-hmm, in, like, my place,
yeah,
of brokenness. And would you say that's kind of what fuels you? I mean, it's, you're ministering to others, not only in how you pastor, mm-hmm, but you're ministering to others through song and in places of you that were broken, in, yeah, places of you that you didn't know. Like, there's a song on the quick plug for your Amazon Prime documentary.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool.
Thanks, man.
I watched that. That was, my parents watched it and they said they were crying, which is the most funny. Well, it's not funny, but
yeah,
it's just that's them. But, I would say I was probably about to cry, but anyway, there's a song that you have in there and it's about the hands and the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
I'm talking
about?
We are the
body. Yes. Yeah. And you're talking about, you're not coming at, you know, it's not just, hey, you stink, do better. But you're saying if we're the body, like, this is what we'll be doing.
I'm a guy. And if you want to talk to me about my life and you want to talk to me about something I need to do better, you better start with how you've messed up too. That's what reaches people, is transparency.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to speak to young believers about listening to the voice of truth. But before I can do that, they got to know that I'm in the same boat.
You're right there with them.
Yeah. And with We Are the Body, it was like, that's the first song the world ever heard from us. So, I mean, that's a pretty hard hitting song, you know?
Yeah.
And Christian radio was scared of it. Honestly scared. They're like, it's a little too preachy. It was some of the words that I would hear. But I'm thinking, well, I didn't write it for y'all. I wrote it from a church. You know, I didn't write it for
you. Don't have to. Anybody. You don't have to put it on the radio.
You don't have to put it on the radio. You can do whatever you want. I'm not writing anything for. So, but because you, two things, transparency is one and love is the other. And if you're going to speak the truth, you have to speak the truth in love. And that's what I try to do. Because Crowns, we talk about hard stuff. And if I'm going to talk about hard stuff, it can't be shooting from above. First of all, it's got to be just, hey, I'm in the same boat you are, but at the same time, I care more about you than I do making this point I'm making. Yeah. And so I think love is what earns us the right to speak truth, right? So that's what Crowns has always done, is we talk about the things that are hard because we're in the local church every week. We're living real life with people.
And that's where you got, that's where your Be Home by Sunday thing Yeah. Where that's come from.
Yeah.
Like, we'll do tour and we'll do these things, but like.
It was tough at first too, man, because getting signed wasn't really a goal. It came to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mark Miller of Sawyer Brown, country group, and Stephen Curtis Chapman are the ones that heard the songs that I was writing. And at the time, it was We Are the Body. Fear, it was still called Fear. It didn't have the chorus that it has now for Voice of Truth. And they heard those songs and called me and said, hey, this is in one conversation. We're going to start a label of our own, and we want you to be the first artist. And I knew in my heart right when he said it, I said, well, can I still be a youth pastor and do that? And it's not a noble thing. It's not, wow, he's so cool to be committed. It is a totally dependent thing, because I know this is where God has me. Why on earth would I step out of what God has for me to do for some opportunity? Well, we think that jumping out in faith is the dangerous thing. No, jumping out of faith is the dangerous thing. So for me, I was like, God, I'm not about to do any of this. I'm not about to do any of this unless you say do it. Wow. And I got to remember that. I've never said that before. Wow. So I'm tucking that away for songs. But
That makes me think of there's a line in one of KB's songs where he says, I would rather be he said, I would rather be in the jungle in the will of God than anywhere else outside.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, man.
That's exactly what you're
saying. So for me, it wasn't like, hey, we're just super awesome and spiritual. It's just, I know this is where I'm supposed to be. So I told him, like, I love writing songs. And I love singing to people. If there's a way I can do that and still be here, we'll do that. Wow. And, that's how it started.
That's crazy. So I guess I want to talk a little bit about worship.
Okay.
And honestly, I feel like I just learned the other day that the statement where you sit and talk about stuff is called shooting the breeze. So I've been saying over and over
again. You've never heard shooting the breeze?
No, I have.
I don't think shooting the breeze is even a statement anymore.
Well, hey, we're bringing it back. So
we're bringing it back.
Hey, we could shoot the breeze forever. But yeah. I want to hear your thoughts on worship specifically. Because I want this to be an encouragement, and I want this to be real for, you know, for our people, for my people back in Blackshear, but also, hey, anybody that's listening to this anywhere. I want to kind of talk to this idea of what is worship to God. And then, you know, outside of, because like, I'll be like, all I thought worship was Sunday and Wednesday. That's all I thought.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, and that wasn't attractive to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not enjoy coming to a church on Sunday and Wednesday and just singing songs. And, you know, maybe that's because the Lord didn't have a hold of me yet. And obviously that is. But I feel like kind of understanding that worship is much bigger than that has led to a whole new level of surrender in my life. And so I want to hear kind of what your thoughts are as a pastor, you know, and your desire to love people and encourage them and, you know, and help shape them, but also as a very talented musician, what is worship? Like for the sixth grade boy that may be listening, but also the 45-year-old parent.
Yeah. Well, I think when I'm talking, I'm seeing a dad. That's just the way I'm just seeing the people I'm talking to. And, hey, there's a musician talking about how important worship is. Of course he is. He's a singer, right? So there's a little disconnect that happens when a musician starts telling you that you should worship. Because if you're not a musical person, you're thinking, this is not my thing, right? But worship, as much as it's our gift to God, it's really God's gift to us, because worship is a chance to pray without asking for stuff. And that's the missing part of most of our prayer. We know how to say, help me. We know how to say, rescue me. But we don't know how to say, you're holy. And how do we compliment God? How do we do what's in us in a way that's totally out of our comfort, you know? And so for me, it's the chance to, it's the missing part of my prayer life, is just saying, God, you're good. Thank you for what you've done. All that part. And also, if I'm not praying that should really speak to my heart about where I am.
Yeah.
If you're not, because I know the difference between me when I'm praying and I'm spending time with God and when I'm not. Yeah. I'm just kind of coasting, right? And when you're not praying, there's such a disconnect. You don't even really want to hear about the things of God. You're certainly not going to listen this far into this podcast because you don't really want to be reminded of where you're not, yeah. Right? So we tend to kind of build a little fortress around ourselves so we don't have to. But for me, it was senior in high school, and her name was Debbie McGregor, and she was the youth director for us at the time. And she took us all to camp, her and her fiance, and they had worship time. So we're all in a circle, sitting on the floor. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, because I'd never seen anything like that before. And but when Debbie started singing, it was just this little simple song, and I'll never forget it. Come let us worship and bow down. It's an old Twyla Paris worship song. Back then, worship was short, little choruses. They weren't really long, you know. Nobody made them 11 minutes yet. Sometimes the worship songs now, I can go through the five stages of grief. No one song. I've been impassioned a couple times, and I'm like, Lord, you're so good. I can't. I just want to live for you forever. And I'm like, man, this is long. Yeah. And I start looking around. I'm like, I wonder if I need a Coke. And then I have conviction. Yeah. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, you're good again. Like you go through. Come on, man. So anyway, sorry. But when it comes to worship, you need it.
Yeah.
You need it. And a lot of thoughts on worship. We can
break them up
if you want.
I feel like what I used to, you know, like I said, what I used to think of worship was just this black and white, boring. Mm-hmm. But I feel like understanding the trueness of how much I'm broken and how much I'm in need of God.
Yeah.
It's changed my perspective on kind of like what you're saying. I get to like cry out to God in song. And hey, my voice doesn't sound good and I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's because that was one thing that used to bug me is like these guys that would be around me singing and like my youth pastor growing up. And I was like,
dude,
I want to look at him
like,
hey,
what's the matter?
Can you quiet down a little bit?
And with guys, it's like we're a little more intimidated by somebody that is more outward.
Yeah.
And it will make us even more inward.
Yeah.
Sometimes
we
focus on them.
Yeah.
But, and we tell ourselves that guy's just doing that to be seen.
Yeah.
Instead of, I really need that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. And it's like what we were talking about a little bit before. It's just the times of most authentic worship in my life in song have been out of a place of I'm hurting, but also out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, like if I'm thinking, like if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm just going to go try to sing a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, that's not, this isn't like a three-step guide to like, hey, this is how you worship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of just out of that, it's out of that true brokenness and understanding of what you're saying. This isn't just me asking God for things. This is me getting to, you know, literally Revelation 4. This is me getting to cast my crown before the throne right now and sing out praises to the Lord. That's been like a special thing, I feel like, for me that, you know, 3 years ago that was like a boring thing. Now it's like a...
Yeah. There's a lot of sides of this to talk about. I think...
Like, what should be your motivation for worshiping God?
As a believer, the hard thing to wrap my mind around is I am the most me when I'm making the most of Him. We used to have this event, I had it here probably before you were born, probably second grade, but it was duct tape night, and everybody made all their outfits out of duct tape. And we had furniture covered in duct tape. We had a car out in front of this church that was covered in duct tape that was donated for them. It was just an epic event. And we had all that stuff and games and everything. And we started talking about duct tape. And I started showing all the slides of the things that you could do with duct tape. But the one thing that duct tape doesn't do very well is it doesn't seal ducts very well. If you want to seal a duct, you have to use something totally different. That's crazy. I've never right? So it stopped being called duct tape and started being called duct tape, right?
Yeah.
And so it does a million things. It just doesn't really do what it was made to do.
Yeah.
And when you, and I'm not trying to get super spiritual or any of that stuff. I'm just trying to say that when you're walking with him and you're letting him lead you, like there's several levels of growing, right? There's that God's opening my eyes to a lot of things that are true. That's huge. And those are such exciting moments. And then there's, all right, I got to step into this and I got to start walking this, you know? And that's something that we always do in pieces, right? In moments, you know, we'll step out and trust God with something. He blows our mind. Then we step right back in to control because we got to have control of stuff. I think those are the little steps that happen in all of our faith. But the thing about worship is that worship is prayer. And prayer is reminding you that this is a conversation. Never hit me that singing the hymns in the church were vertically even a thing. It was just, these are the songs. They're about God. They're nice. They're a little old sounding, but they're cool. Whatever. You know, it never hit me we were singing to somebody. But when your relationship with Jesus, it's hard to think that we would still think of God as a thing. But you'll talk to somebody about God and they'll say, yeah, I really need to get back into that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is it that?
Yeah.
Right? As long as God is a that,
yeah,
you're going to have trouble. And so there's that moving into God as a person who knows me and speaks to me and I can speak to him. That prayer part of our faith is so hard to grow in.
Yeah.
But worship is giving you more words to use.
Yeah.
You know, it's giving you different ways to thank him that you don't know how to do yet.
Yeah.
Now, I got a friend named Wayne, been a good friend of mine for years, and he did clearing. Like, you want to build a mall? He levels the forest, right? He had a sticker on his truck that said, Earth first, we'll log the other planets later, right? This dude is hardcore, all right? And but he's a believer, helps me in my youth group. And but one of the treats that God gave me was every once in a while he let me stand next to Wayne during worship. And he is just, he's not going to be that guy in the front with his shoes off,
yeah,
you know, with hand in the air, bust out the flags. He's not that guy, okay? He's just a man.
Yeah.
And but I noticed I was a music guy. I sing. So I would naturally think everybody should be musical.
Yeah.
So that's one side of this problem is I sometimes expect people to be something that they're not. But Wayne wasn't that guy, and he's not going to sing. Can't sing. I've heard him sing. He's got one note, just like this, all the way across. And but what he would do is he would say the words. And it seemed like he would say it, like, right before, just real quiet. Not loud, just real quiet. And he would say the words of the song. And he's like, I'm not going to be robbed of worship.
That's cool.
By music. You can't let music rob you of worship, right? So that's one half of this, is that I've got our worship style is usually kind of linked to our personality a little bit. So your more introverted people probably aren't going to be standing on their chair, right? But as much as I need to see that in them, they've got to see, yeah, I might be a little introverted, but that is not an excuse to not worship.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a line. I don't think everybody in the church has to have their hands in the air and yelling, you know. But that's a question every believer has to ask themselves. Am I really quiet because – am I really being quiet in worship because I just think we need to be still and know that he is God? Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
Or is it pride? Right? So just as much as it can be pride that makes somebody wave their hands and sing loud, it's equally pride to sit there quiet.
Yeah.
So I think it's an internal thing, but there's something about speaking and hearing your own voice say, God is good, that God gave you that yeah. on purpose yeah. because that's what we're to do. And I don't think as a believer we can just sit and not not worship.
Yeah.
So we got to find that voice.
Yeah, I've recently made a friend. He's the same age as me. He's the same thing, Bible college, helping serve in a church. He recently just lost his wife, and 21-year-old. And we were at his funeral, and it was just crazy. It was because it's at my church, and I didn't know him yet, so I'm in the sound booth, helping, just be there and trying to be, as supportive as possible. But it was blowing my mind just watching him down front on the front pew. His wife is in the casket, married for 3 months, and watching him literally be able to say exactly the Revelation passage that we're joining the saints and we're joining the angels and we're joining my wife right now, worshiping the Lord. And it's just crazy to think about, worship in that aspect of I'm living a life of worship, because that's the one of the main things is worship is not just a Sunday. That is a part of it. You come and you pray and you listen to a guy teach and you absorb the word and you sing songs. But it's cultivating a life of worship that I think is what you're hinting at. And that's what you're saying. That's what even you're saying, like your songs. Like your songs are written out of not just let's throw some cute, words together out of the Bible. Like this is real. And this is every part of my life is worship to the Lord. And how can I communicate that through music? And I just think that's why, I will forever listen to Casting Crowns for the rest of my life. And there's even people that it's a joke, but make fun of that. And they're like, yeah, this guy's 21. He's like a 50-year-old. I love y'all's music for that reason. And it's
another thing that pops in my head about corporate worship, like in church, is most people in the room, you're up there and you're singing and you're creating the atmosphere. This is where worship could happen.
Yeah.
If you chose to worship, you could do that. Or you could just listen or whatever. But I think that most people in church aren't really looking at, like if you're the worship leader, people need permission to come out of themselves a little bit. Like clap their hands or raise their hand. And you can't give it from up on the stage. Because what's happening is that room, people in that room, the room has to give them permission.
Yeah,
it's like as a church, if your whole church is just sitting there stone face, that person that's feeling like God's calling them to express themselves is not going to, because he's going to look next to him this way, it's going to look this way. And so what I believe is that God's called a lot of us to be worship leaders. God's called a lot of us to be lead worshipers and be out there with the people giving. I'm going to give this room permission.
Wow.
Like Char Marie, that's out in the front row. Just sweet lady. And when it comes time to worship, whoo, her hands are in the air. Yeah. You're going to hear her. You're going to hear her sing aloud and everybody else. Just such a beautiful soul about what she does that one voice has changed some things in our worship here. And there's been several people in our church that worship outwardly that give everybody else permission. You can do this.
Yeah.
This is, I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that's what it is.
Yeah.
People are looking around to see what's the level.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go above the level, So I'm just feeling the temperature. I'm reading the room. And if you've been a believer for a while and it's possibly just pride that's keeping you from raising your hand or lifting your voice, that's not cool.
Yeah.
I got to be a lead worshiper and give everybody else permission to do that.
What advice, I guess to kind of begin wrapping up, what advice would you give somebody that's like that? Somebody that's sitting there and they're hearing this, and they're thinking, man, that's me. Maybe I'm grieving the Spirit and not letting my worship to God really just take its you know, run its course? Or maybe what advice would you give to somebody that's like that, but also what advice or encouragement would you give to somebody that's struggling to worship, struggling to really dive into, you know, it's not only on Sunday, but just a life of of worship?
Well, I think it's got to start with you and Jesus, and it's got to start in your prayer life. I think that we've got to change the way we see it. Change the way we see worship. It's not just about singing good. It's about lifting your voice to Him. And if that's quietly speaking the words, if that's, there are moments in song where you know, man, my hand needs to be in the air right now. So I'm just saying, I'm just saying, if that's what you're thinking, then why are you not? Mainly it's our pride. Hands in the air is literally vulnerable. It's surrender in so many ways, because a man walks in the room, he's in control of his situation. I'm controlling my family's over here, my kids are over there. I've been having to prove myself all week to everybody I work for. I just walked through 9 tornadoes to come into this room, bro. And you want my hands up, right? So that's a lot to break through for him. But when that starts welling up in you, you don't need a podcast to tell you that. You know that that hand raised is sort of a moment of saying, dude, that truth's even bigger than me looking good right now. And it's usually moments where it's like, you are king. When those moments, like, you are the king of the world, that I'm just like, yep, that's true. It's kind of like you raise your hand when you know the answer in class when you're a kid. It's like that's what happens with me. My hands aren't up all the time, but I got to be careful if I'm suppressing that, because I don't want to look a certain way, because that's pride.
And if you're not, and if that's not, if you're unwilling for that to be your experience in worship on a Sunday, ultimately you're saying, I'm in control and I'm God. And how is that going to translate to out of the church?
It is an honest question. If being outward in your worship in the church is the safest place in the world to open up and worship. So if I can't do it,
you're literally in a room.
If I can't do it right here, where everybody's talking about Jesus, we're not in a board meeting, we're not on the job site, we're not having to anchor down, make sure the weights are planted right and the legs are down on the back end loader. We're in a room where it's about Him.
Yeah.
So if I can't do it there, I can't do it out there. You know, if I can't be outward about my faith in the church, I'm not going to be outward about my faith out there. So,
which is literally the entire point of our walk with Jesus,
is to be outward. It's got to come out. So I will always acknowledge personalities. I will always acknowledge,
which I didn't even think about that. Like, that's very wise and a good thing to say is, you know, you may worship, you know, just because I'm a raise the hand guy doesn't mean you have to be a raise the hand guy. But still, it's exactly what you're saying. It's, you know who you are, and you know if you're holding back.
Yeah. Because the end goal here as a worship leader is you're a shepherd. And your goal for them coming in that room is for them to be a follower of Jesus that walks with Jesus and pours them into others. Yeah. That's all of our goals with everything we do. Yeah. So they may just come in there and sit and look at me today. Yeah. And I got to be okay with that. And I got to get all I need from Jesus. I'm not going to get it from them, right? But at the same time, I'm pouring into that heart because I want him to have his own walk with God. I don't want him to generate some feeling in a room. There's a lot of rooms on Sunday morning that have a lot of feeling, and then they walk right out of there into nothing, right? So,
man, that's another podcast.
Yeah, it is. Man. Where does the time go?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I know I'm encouraged. I don't know a lot about worship. I really don't. I know, I guess, what a youth pastor should know. But I feel like I've honestly gleaned a lot from just in my own life, just from what you said. Is there anything else that you would want to hit on? Just out of in humility, I don't know. And I want, you know, what is there that you could say that hasn't been said, or that, you know.
I think any time that we're pushed a little bit by a teacher or a preacher or a podcast or a subject that kind of pushes on us a little bit. Even if it's not all right, you know, there's a lot of preachers that'll say a bunch of weird stuff, but say one thing that pushes on us a little bit, our faith. I think we've got to step away from this conversation. If you've heard it, if you've listened to this today, you've got to be willing to look in the mirror of God's word and say, where is this? Where's worship in my life?
Yeah.
And have I just decided it's just a music people thing and I'm missing something?
Yeah.
Because as much as we said, as much as it's our gift to God, it's his gift to us. Yeah. And yeah, man.
Man, that's really encouraging. Well, hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time out of your super busy schedule to just hang out a little bit. And I know I'm just encouraged. And honestly, that was our prayer before this. I hope this is an encouragement to people. This isn't just a, hey, let's hear some random podcast, but let's actually begin to consider what it means to worship, not only in song, but also in life. So
yeah, dude.
I know I'm encouraged. Mark, thank you for joining us. I'm trying to think of a cheesy phrase to leave people with. Not like just anything. Just what is in your head right now?
Actually, I was thinking of a story, but we don't have time.
No, no. I want to hear it. No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
My youngest daughter, Hope, we adopted from China, and she was 2 and a half, I believe, when we got her. And I remember all my kids trying to teach them to talk, right? But it seemed even harder, you know, because she was just kind of inward a little bit, a little guarded, and she'll be upset, but she didn't know what to say. She didn't know how to say it. And they would just cry. Like a baby would just cry.
That's literally what my son Malachi does.
Dude, that's the only word they know. That's the word, right? And until they learn another word, I remember just as a dad thinking, I got so many things I want to tell you, you know? And then when you're hurting, I've got, how is it hurting? Yeah. What is it? You know, like, you're like, where are you
help
crying?
You. Just tell me.
And they slowly learn some words, right? They learn yes, no. Usually no is one of the first words they learn. And then they start learning little words and they put together ways to talk to us. But then we've still got much more to say. Just like Jesus said, he said, I got so much more I'd want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now, right? So when you're in scripture and worship, it's building the vocabulary of your prayer life.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a lot of us, all we have is help me. If you rescue me from this, I'll do anything. That's kind of where we start. But developing a life of prayer and worship in reading scripture builds the words that you talk to God. It builds the words that you hear from God because he speaks through his word.
Yeah. Man, that's John 15. Hey,
word up.
Be attached to the vine.
Mm-hmm. So. True that.
Well, hey, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate this. So we hope this is an encouragement to you and anybody that is listening. So, hey, my cheesy thing that I've been saying is be blessed. So
be blessed,
be my blessed, friends. My fellow friends. Thank you. See you.